Streaming on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to
93.5
The Tap.
WCFWHD News on the Hour. Presented by Indeed.com.
Streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The holiday weekend rushes on. KCAL-TV's Rick Montanez reports from Los Angeles' LAX airport.
224,000 passengers expected to pass through LAX today alone. And tomorrow will be much busier, according to the airport, which expects nearly 230,000 passengers. Slightly fewer will fly on Saturday, but by Monday, over a million passengers expected to come through LAX for this Labor Day weekend.
A day after Hurricane Idalia slammed into Florida's Big Bend region, residents are picking up the pieces. In Punta Gorda, Ashley Harris says in her house,
like Erie, as all the water started coming up through the floor. It wasn't even through the front door. It's just every corner of the house, just through the floorboards, all throughout the house.
KTBT-TV's Jason Allen.
Meanwhile, in Washington, President Biden visited FEMA headquarters and promised help for those who need it.
We're making available federal assistance for Florida survivors whose homes are damaged or destroyed.
The president said he plans to visit Florida on Saturday.
X, formerly known as Twitter, plans to start collecting biometric and job history data on users. Tech expert Ian Schur explains why this
move. It's likely that a lot of these features are going to be used for stuff like passwordless login, which is a popular growing trend on the internet, where your phone's fingerprint sensor or facial recognition features are used to log into websites instead of having to memorize or keep a list of passwords.
Two more teenagers have been arrested in a mass shooting at a summer block party in Baltimore earlier this summer. Two people died and more than two dozen others were injured. Acting Police Commissioner Richard Worley identified one of the two suspects.
18-year-old Aaron Brown of Baltimore and a 14-year-old juvenile male of Baltimore were both served with warrants yesterday on multiple charges to include conspiracy to commit first-degree murder and multiple attempted first-degree murder charges.
Police arrested another suspect earlier this month and a fourth teen on a weapons charge. A judge in Clay County, Missouri, has ruled that an 84-year-old white man must stand trial on charges of shooting black teenager Ralph Yarl when he showed up at the wrong house in April to pick up his siblings. CBS's Christopher Cruz reports.
Yarl was released from the hospital 4 days later, the same day Lester was arrested. Yarl testified at Thursday's preliminary hearing. He said he was shot in the head, the impact knocking him to the ground, and was then shot in the arm.
Pope Francis is now in Mongolia, the first pope to visit the landlocked Asian country. He's there to encourage one of the world's smallest and newest Catholic communities. The visit comes as Vatican relations with Mongolia's neighbors, Russia and China, are strained. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
When you think about early labor unions, do you think of Wisconsin? You should. The state's first labor union formed in Milwaukee in 1847 when the bricklayers organized, then the carpenters union in 1848. The National Labor Union didn't even form until 1866. A State Historical Society report shows Wisconsin's union members also pushed for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance legislation, becoming a model for other states. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover, of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap.
Is that word?
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever. You can say it both ways. A friend wouldn't make fun of somebody like for knowing a word. See, this is what I'm talking about, people. Kristen Bry does not believe in friendship. I don't allow them to compliment me back because I can't take a compliment.
I like your beard.
Shut up. I'm leaving right now.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
So, apparently, I don't know how far and wide this is celebrated, but apparently, today is National Supper Club Day. Is there more? This may be a more, is this even more of a Wisconsin holiday than, or national observance than like all the different cheese and beer days? Because I think it's more unique. It's still more unique here. Wisconsin supper clubs, I don't, like, there's not, it's still Midwest, but I feel like, I don't know if it's as dominant anywhere else than it is in Wisconsin.
I think that, like, I don't know, honestly, because it's funny because for me, like, supper clubs were supper clubs, so... The fact that it's like when people say, what's a fish fry? I'm like, what do you mean? What's a fish fry?
But that's a good question. So like you just defined a supper club by calling it a supper club. So what is a supper club?
To me, a supper club is a it's a fancy restaurant, but it's not like a Michelin star restaurant. It looks like a fancy restaurant built by your grandparents.
It's what they think is fancy.
Yes. There's carpeting on the walls. You dress up.
But Wisconsin dress up.
But yes. And yeah, like it just feels like we're making fun of ourselves. But I feel like a supper club, literally, like we're going to the supper club tonight and everyone will go, oh, which one? You know, like, and you know, it's going to be a fancy night out, but it's going to be Midwest fancy.
And that's what I mean. It's Midwest fancy.
Yeah.
But I also think that there's a range now. Like, I was reading an article about, there was a documentary about Wisconsin supper clubs, and the interview was, you know, talking about how it started. And you know, at one point, she was saying that the whole experience was supposed to be, nothing was rushed.
Yeah.
Like, the whole evening mm-hmm. could be spent. You start at the bar. Once you're ready to move to the table, you can move to the table, and there's already the relish tray there. And once you're done, you can move back to the bar, and it's you hang out. And there used to be entertainment, but now there's not as much live music and live entertainment anymore. But I feel like a lot, especially popular supper clubs, once your table's up, you're going. Like, because it's a like long way. Like popular supper clubs, like it's like a 2-hour wait.
Yeah.
And people will wait for it, especially on a Friday for a fish fry.
See, that's the thing for me is I don't want to go to a supper club that's new. I want to go to a supper club that's old. Because to me, anything that's like 20 years or younger, they're just hopping the bandwagon of the look. But you want to go to a great one, the one I always want to go to, like I haven't gone in so long, but it's one I think about on a fairly regular basis, is the Hobnob in Kenosha.
I've not been there.
It is beautiful. There is a oil painting of the owners on the wall. They have a, when I went last, they had a live jazz trio and it was amazing. And it overlooks the lake.
So is it beautiful or is it kitschy beautiful?
It's beautiful because, so it's beautiful to me because anything that's like newer is kitschy. Kitschy is like, to me, like there's no irony in the design. They didn't say, well, we have to do this because this is what a supper club is. They were the ones who, they're the design that everyone wants to be. You know what I mean? Like, they're the originals, okay, in my opinion. So it's beautiful. Whereas you go to one that's like, oh, they opened a new supper club. I'm like, well, that's kitschy then, because they knew they had to put a deer head on the wall and they knew they had to dress up all their wait staff in tuxedos and things like that, because that's the old way of doing it. Whereas the Hobnob, which has a very long history, like mobsters went there, Al Capone went there. It's beautiful.
That's funny that that's your definition of kitschy. It has to, it's like something that is like put on, because when we were up in Hayward, there was, this was in July during the Lumberjack championships.
Yeah.
There is a bar, I think, and now I'm trying to look up the name really quickly, but it is like every single wall is taxidermy.
Yeah.
And it's not ironic, right? Yeah. Like, this is how this bar has always looked, but I still consider that kitschy.
Yeah, I guess to me, kitschy is a style that's, yeah. If it's your style, like if it's like, I shot all these animals, this is what me and my grandfather did when I was younger. I don't know why kitschy almost seems, it's, I don't know. I'm using it wrong. I know I am. And I know that kitschy is the way to describe it. But to me, that's not fair, because it almost seems like it's being done for the sake of it to look like it's like, mm-hmm, when you go to these, what a small tangent, when you go to like some of these newer barber shops that are trying so hard to look like an old barber shop, but it's still a $60 haircut. But yeah, you're like, but we have like deer heads on the wall. I'm like, this is fine. I'm just going to go to the place down the street where the guy barely remembers my name and he can cut my hair. That's fine. You know, I got opinions, old man opinions with Greg.
All right. Well, we're going to keep this question going throughout today's show. What is your favorite supper club? And also, what makes a supper club versus a different type of restaurant? What is the criteria to you, to besides them just calling themselves a supper club? Because yeah, it is National Supper Club Day. But moving on, at least for now, separate question. Should private schools that are receiving taxpayer money, should their finances be public? 844-967-2789. I feel like this should be obvious.
Yeah.
And say yes. And I don't know why anyone would say no, but Wisconsin private schools are objecting to their finances being made public. And I read both WPR, Wisconsin Public Radio's written two articles about this, basically back to back, one on Tuesday and one yesterday, and I can't really understand why there's objections, because School Choice Wisconsin and Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty say an online dashboard to display public school finances is necessary for transparency. But those same groups are now fighting against the inclusion of data from voucher schools.
Oh, I wonder why.
But honestly, why? 844-967-2789. Because at least in the article, it doesn't necessarily say, like the only kind of, at least I'm missing something, the only thing that they report on is saying like, well, that information already is available. But so then why don't you just want to include it on a dashboard that makes it accessible and easier to read for people? I literally am asking this question. I don't know if anyone knows.
The thing is I feel like we've talked about this before with regard to the fact that when these private schools take public school money, they get the money and they don't have to show results for them. Like, they can take kids in and then throw them out and keep the money and use reasons, whether it's queer issues, whether it's quote unquote trouble issues. So I feel like there's just, I feel like the reason why they don't want to have this money or these records being shown is because they have to go deep into the minutiae of why their, maybe their student population doesn't reflect the money they're getting, or, you know, I just, it's an investigation. And they just want the money and leave them alone. That's it.
Well, and I just don't understand how you can justify that as far as like, because, I mean, we're also working at the first, for the first time, like, this new school year, and the budget that has been increased significantly for choice programs, for private schools receiving public money. And so there is a lot more money going to private schools now. So funding for kindergarten through eighth grade, private choice schools increased from about $8,400 per student to $9,500 per student. And funding for private choice high schools went from $9,045 to $12,000 per student. And so, and that is across about 86,000 students who are receiving vouchers. So, like, this is a huge jump in how much money we're spending on those schools. And so the idea that we want, like, I just, it's the hypocrisy of, oh yeah, public schools need transparency. We want to know, we're pushing to have this dashboard that, you know, there was a bipartisan bill that behind it, but no, we don't, but these schools are different. Even though they're receiving public money, their finances are their business. And I just don't know, even if you're a school choice proponent, how you justify that. 844-967-2789. And I don't like it, I don't have any opinion beyond, like, it just seems like you're either hiding something, and it sounds like that's super, I think that's super nefarious, at least what you pointed out, and I'm not accusing them of that, but like, is that why it's like you don't want to be held accountable for the money you take for students that don't end up graduating from your programs? I don't know, because at least on the data that they provide, they try to say that, they being Wisconsin school choice programs, that they're more cost effective. So on Wednesday, School Choice Wisconsin released its own data showing private schools in the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program, Racine Parental Choice Program, and statewide Wisconsin Parental Choice Program were more, quote, cost effective than public school peers. And so the group used DPI school report card to show that the school choice programs had better results to come to their conclusion. But then DPI responded by basically saying that this is a flawed narrative and that it was ironic that the group promoting the idea of cost effectiveness while maintaining there is no need to include their financial data in the portal, all while private schools accepting voucher money, like you said, Greg, are still allowed to discriminate with, against students with disabilities and LGBTQ plus students. So I don't know. I mean, tell me I'm wrong that, like, there's a good reason why private schools shouldn't have to report or have their information included on this dashboard when they're receiving public money. 844-967-2789. We'll keep this conversation going. And then later in the hour, we have the good, the bad, and the, once again, I'm telling you, please do not sleep on women's sports. It's a long one. At the end of the hour, we will play Three Truths and a Lie. So, Greg, get ready for that. And then in the next hour, Kristen Lierley is back after a week last week when she was at surgery, being a doctor. She's back to for a public service announcement. And Paul Noonan is here next hour. So we got a jam-packed show. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Rock and roll. Feeling is there, body and soul.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Wisconsin.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Quiet for the overnight with mostly clear skies at 58 degrees. Southeast winds on the light side. Sunshine, upper 80s Friday. This weekend, look for a warm-up. Lower 90s for Saturday. Heading closer to the Labor Day holiday, temperatures into the upper 90s. Right now, it's 64.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Gene?
Hi. Matt, thank you so much for all of the information. It's very, very frustrating to see this happening in our country and in our state. I mean, these people really are not there to work for the American people. I still swear that we're being attacked from the inside out. These people don't work for America. They're just taking up space and wasting taxpayer money and worrying about their leader, Trump. The thing that really makes me sick, though, is as I watch and record, because I pay attention to what's going on in our country, around our country and the world, and we're in a whole bit of hurt here with all of the climate change-related disasters that are going on in our country as we speak. Now, these lazy son-of-a-guns who shouldn't be there, they should be locked out of the Capitol, never allowed to return, trying to overturn our votes and all the crap they've pulled on the United States. Now they don't want to pay the bills or help the people in their Republican states that are suffering right now, that are being flooded out. I mean, it's just sick, Matt. These people are sick, and those people that continue to support these Republicans, not the Republicans I know of, but the new Republican fascist group that don't give one iota about anybody, and those people that they proclaim their religious values. Well, these people aren't religious, and you better go back to church and look in your Bible and see what God really wants. So, anyway, Matt, I'm on a roll today.
That's good.
I just can't believe it. Take care, and thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and before we go to the next caller, I'm going to back up what you just said. You're not going to believe this. Just now, DeSantis in Florida has turned down about $300 million in federal money they're entitled to for climate change, saying, well, I don't believe in climate change, and so I'm not taking $300 million. You know, the only worst guy was Scott Walker. He turned down $1 billion with a B for Medicaid in this state, and he turned down almost $1 billion for trains. Remember that? And he turned down $50,000 for broadband. These people who say they're conservatives are turning down money that is their rightful money to help their state. And the biggest dumb cuff of all, frankly, was Scott Walker, because when he turned down the $1 billion for Medicaid, he then billed the Wisconsin taxpayers and took their taxes to pay for a big chunk of what the federal government would have already. He did that. Go to the line. Steve in Milwaukee, my friend. You're next. What's your mind, Steve?
All right, Jeannie. I like her spunk. And, Matt, I got a question for you. What's this horse manure I hear about Josh Call not even being able to prosecute fake electors because of the Wisconsin law that they have to be in the county that it happened in or something like that? You know anything about that?
No, yeah. And that sounds to me like a rumor. Josh is a smart guy. I know he's not saying that kind of stuff. Fannie Willis is going after 19 people, and some of them have never had anything to do with Georgia, and she's only a DA in Fulton County. Josh Call could prosecute the fake electors. Frankly, so could the DA of Dane County. But I'm sure he's a fine fellow. I've never met him, but I've never heard him mention the same name as Fannie Willis. But no, I mean, the thing is, the Attorney General of Michigan is prosecuting the fake electors. Jack Smith is prosecuting the scheme that involved the fake electors, and Fannie Willis is prosecuting state electors. There's no reason in this state. The state electors met in Madison. They met in Madison, and they did it sneakily and in secret. They kept it quiet. They said, don't tell the press. They didn't list it as something that was meeting and all that. And Ron Johnson had the fake electors for Michigan, and now, according to paragraph 101, of the federal indictment, he had him for Wisconsin too, and he tried to get him to Pence. That's a criminal offense. Cheesebro is up there right now. Eastman is up there right now for orchestrating that. Johnson was part of it. Voss was part of it by arranging the meeting. What are we waiting for? Call Josh's office. Say, Josh, prosecute these people. Stephanie of Madison, my friend. Thank you for calling. What's your mind today, Stephanie?
Oh, hey. Here's what's on my mind. Yeah, I am so frustrated because I really, really, really would love to know how in the hell we need a massive education, public education campaign. I feel like I'm talking about a pipe dream, but we've somehow got to get the populace of this country to really understand. I think a lot of people, they're beginning to, and I think there are people who are having buyer's remorse, but they're so, you know, some of the conservatives are so married to their principles, to quote unquote, that are they, you know, they're afraid to let go. But this is so destructive, and if these people are allowed to just do this destruction, I mean, you know, talk about taxpayer money waste. God, it's horrible. Anyway, right. I gotta go.
No. Like, yeah, I'm gonna respond to you now, and then there are other lines. There are other people in the lines. Do not hang up. We have a very short break, and I'm gonna get back to you right after the break. To Stephanie, I'll just say, I've known conservatives in my life. I've never known a conservative who thought about it for a second, who would say, "I think that DeSantis should turn down $300 million." Because he doesn't recognize climate change. Is he taking a look at what's happening in his state, for Pete's sake? There's no conservative I know that said Scott Walker should turn down $1 billion for Medicaid, $1 billion for trains, $50,000 for broadband, because it's coming from the federal government, and he thinks that Wisconsin taxpayers should be double billed for it, because they also pay federal taxes. This is sick. This is insane. Shutting down the government is insane. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'll get back to you right after the break. Do not hang up.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief, Labor Day weekend just about underway. Ready, set, go.
AAA projects the busiest time on the roads will always be at night. So they're saying if you're looking to avoid that surge, they recommend you start your road trips before 7 a.m.
KWCH-TV reporter Lane Alter in Wichita, Kansas. Gone but not easily forgotten Hurricane Idalia.
Good news, we're not hearing any deaths.
that happened here, but this cleanup process is going to be a long, long process.
CBS's Omar Villafranca in Cedar Key, south of Tallahassee. X, formerly known as Twitter, plans to start collecting biometric and job history data on users, technology expert Ian Schur.
It is a little odd to see a social media company just change its terms of service to include this collection of information without giving a more public reason why.
Supposedly, it's to make it easier to log in. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM radio for every vehicle act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
AM radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM radio for every vehicle act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
93.5, The Tap.
Live or whenever you want, from anywhere.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get you in order. Bob of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Bob, what's in your mind today?
Well, they keep talking about Biden is too old and they got some ugly polls out and so forth. And it's obviously going according to the right-wing propaganda. But anybody with any common sense can see who the healthier person is, you know.
Right.
You know, and it's not 2:15. I think the president should have a baseball game on the South Lawn with a bunch of people exact same age as him and just play that out in front of people to show that, you know, 81-year-olds aren't over the hill or something like that, you know. And statistically, there's only a 13% chance somebody that age would die in a 4-year period.
Right.
So that's, so he's 80, So he's what? He's 87% chance going to survive right through
well,
it. So
yeah, let me back up what you're saying. That you raise an interesting point. Let me back up what you're saying. First of all, Joe Biden is incredibly fit. He was an athlete in high school. He was a star athlete, football player and all that. And he's very, very fit. Secondly, and I'm going to say something that nobody will believe, but think about it. Each year, your life expectancy goes up. Each year, your life expectancy goes up because you've already made it to whatever you are and you go into the next one. And Bob is exactly right that actuarially, once you turn 80, and he will turn 80 in December. By the way, he's only 3.5 years older than Trump. I mean, Trump is no spring chicken. Trump is not in good shape. Trump is also crazy. He's crooked, but he's also crazy. And you can't tolerate another Trump administration with 4 years of crazy and crooked, and he's losing his marbles. Biden's not losing his marbles. He stuttered as a kid. He mastered it perfectly. So whether it's baseball, football, whatever it is, Joe Biden's in great shape. He really is in great shape. And right now, I mean, he's in much better shape than Trump. He's much more on the ball than Trump. And Trump is flat out crazy. Thank you very much, Bob. Chris of Sun Prairie, my friend. Thank you for calling us your mind today, Chris.
Hi. Well, I heard you talking about the Medicaid system, and I just thought it would be important to point out, I worked for EDS, Electronic Data Systems, back when they were the fiscal agent for the state of Wisconsin's Medicaid system. And I was an information analyst, and when we used to win contracts from the federal government, when we got money sent to us from the federal government, we all celebrated, whether we were Republican, Democrat, Independent. Everybody celebrated. That was a win for the state. It was a win for the programs where people could get the benefits. It was a win for the state because it created jobs in the state. It was a win for the state because we had innovative programs that were developed. The Wisconsin Immunization Registry was developed from that program, and the Immunization Registry is now being used in states all across the country. You know, so there are a lot of really great things that can come out of the money that comes back from the federal government. And also what you mentioned of us having to take that money out of state funds, that is money that's coming back from the federal government that we paid. So that's our money that Scott Walker turned away. Somebody else got that money. We just didn't get it. So I think people really need to be aware of that. And if I can weigh in on the second thing about age, I don't really think age is the issue here. I really think that we have a corruption problem here. Trump was corrupt, and he needs to go. And I think that President Biden should not really have to run on that. He should run on the fact that he's got the Build Back Better. He needs to be pointing out what he's done in this country, because I really don't think that's getting down to the working people. And I really think that that needs to be pushed a whole lot more from the people that I've been talking to. And I'm trying to talk to people on the other side. They need to understand where those funds are coming from. And I think that would be very helpful, that people need to understand that Build Back Better is what is building things in this country right now.
That is a splendid call, Chris. That really is a splendid call. You just gave a synopsis of, I think, the truth of what the issue is here. Thank you for calling. And get back to the Medicaid question again, and you have expertise because you worked with one of the vendors to the provider, to the recipient of the money. Scott Walker turned down $1 billion. That happened in about more than seven MAGA red states. And all the governors said, we're not taking that kind of money because we're self-sufficient. Now, they're all lying. What it was the people that get Medicaid, they were afraid wouldn't vote for them. So they basically hurt poor people. What Scott Walker did, because he knew he couldn't get away with it totally in Wisconsin, he said, okay, I'm turning it down. We're going to pay off the national debt. He didn't pay off the national debt with it. That money went to California, Minnesota, and they said, oh, my God, well, this is a windfall. But then he turned around and billed the state of Wisconsin taxpayers, you and me, for much of that. And so what was the purpose of that? Do you understand something? a lot of states get, we get about the least federal money of any state in the union. The coastal states have Navy bases. They have space centers. You have the IRS in Ohio, you know, that kind of thing. What do we have? We get nothing. Now, we're self-sufficient. We're proud. But here, like every state, we were going to get proportionate to our population money to fund Medicaid. And this Republican governor turned it down. But he billed you again. So you paid the federal tax that then went on to Minnesota or California. And you paid it again. He turned down $50 million, I should say, in broadband for rural areas in the North. Everybody says the North needs broadband. I say it. Biden finally pushed it through. But before Biden, you know, if you're in a small business up there and you don't have reliable internet, some cases you don't even have reliable cell phone service. And what's that all about? Why'd he turn that down? $50 million. He turned it down because he said, I'm a conservative. He's running for he ran for president in 2016, and he looked very strong in the polls for about a week till they got a good look at him. They got a good look at him in the debates, and he looked like the groom on the wedding cake, a plastic figure, and he dropped out. But he spent a lot of money, and all of what he did that hurt Wisconsin was to try to make him look like his idea of a, quote, conservative, end quote, so he could get Southern delegates. That's what it was. That is flat out what it was. And DeSantis is doing it now. Biden called him. He said, you got to take some disaster relief. And DeSantis said, well, yeah, if you insist. But I'm not taking any of that climate change money from the from soft infrastructure. No, sir. $300 million. I'm not taking that. These guys aren't conservatives. These guys aren't Americans. Go to the lines. In order. Do not hang up. Wisco Paul, my friend. You're next. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Thanks for your show. Thanks for taking my call. The first thing, you said it a long time ago, the Republicans can't handle money, and that's so true. There's a whole list of things. The train money, as far as that goes, we're paying from the Milwaukee to Chicago corridor, and a lot of that would have been paid for if we'd taken the train money. So you're paying that again. Of course, there's the Medicaid money, and the list goes on and on. And then that's even compounded with boss hiring people like Gableman, and now the Republicans are going to use lawyers to fight gerrymandering. This all adds up to the taxpayer, and it's in the millions and millions of dollars, Matt. And I just wanted to mention one thing about religious folks. I love them. I go to church myself. But a lot of them are one-issue voters, abortion, and you can't talk to them. That doesn't make them bad people, but that's just the way it is. You hit the nail on the head, as you'd say. Republicans cannot handle money. Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Paul. Before we go to the next, I just want to say, you know, on the issues and the money, that's exactly right. On the religious thing, I just want to say to everybody, we believe in the separation of church and state. I have enormous respect for people of all religious faiths. I don't question their motivations for doing anything. They're all good people. And that issue of separation of church and state, of having no established religion, this was passed by our founding fathers in the First Amendment. It is the most significant insight in political philosophy in the history of America, in the history of mankind, in the history of the world. It is the one thing that separates us from a lot of other countries. So just so you were clear, I see no correlation. I speak of no correlation between religion and political issues. People are all over the lot. But I appreciate your call. Paul, we're going further to the lines. Do not hang up. I'll take you in order. Jake of Milwaukee, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Jake?
This is always my slogan for voting Republican, at least the last, 30 years maybe, is that if you want to be poor, you want to be less healthy, you want to be more uneducated, vote Republican, because that is exactly what you're going to get. Because they no longer have common sense or use science or do any of the stuff or have any, you know, like personal morals or any of that stuff anymore. It's all gone. And so I just, you know, I just think that, you know, everyone should keep that in mind. And the single issue voters for abortion, you know, like how many people die from air pollution, right? It's like the worst thing in that kills most people on the planet and our country. So you guys, who you're anti-abortion people, you actually support people who kill more people, I mean, maybe inadvertently, than you actually save. So.
Yeah, no, Jake, thanks for calling in. As in regard to the first part of your call, there was a great saying we always used to use. If you want to live like a Republican, vote for a Democrat. But on the other stuff, to be very honest with you, I do not see or speak of a correlation between religion and any political issue. Religion's separate. Under the First Amendment, separation of church and state, no established religion. I have no criticism of any religion, none whatsoever. I have great respect for all people who worship, and we talk about issues only. Mark from the SAC, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Mark?
Yeah, it's interesting. I see today that Clarence Thomas now plans on disclosing all the gifts he gets from all his rich buddies. And my point would make, and he's not honest like George Bailey's guardian angel. That was another Clarence. But Clarence Thomas, if he wants to be completely honest, maybe he should pay for his trips himself. Maybe he should pay for all his little vacations himself, rather than benefiting the way that hardly any other American actually does, by having a rich friend that pays for all his expenses and all his costs and all his little, you know, luxurious vacations and the tuition for, you know, his adopted, you know, quote unquote adopted son, and who knows however much money has been stuffed into his garter belt over the years that.
Mark, thanks for calling. I always appreciate your calls. Karina of Milwaukee, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Karina?
Hi. You know, I don't really agree with some of the callers saying, well, it is what it is, and this is just people who they are. No, this is not. They're working for a self-centered goals, whether it goes personally, that you want to raise your statue in the eyes of whoever for a future political advances, or you're doing it for your party because you want people to be so distracted with everyday problem that they don't come watch you debate like a swore of hyenas, or they don't know what you're doing, or they don't care long time ago because the only thing they're thinking about is the surviving, what they're going to put on their table, how they're going to put for a rent. And
right.
all of it is very critical. And if you're going to look into actually a statistics, and it's easy to see for with a Title 19, because you have to be qualified for a Title 19 and the base.
No, you're right, Karina. Thank you. Yeah, we have to go to a break. That's right. I mean, these people who are on food stamps or on Medicaid, they're human beings, and they should be provided that. That separates us from a lot of societies. Thank you for calling. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
The ring of fire, the ring of fire, and it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Quiet for the overnight with mostly clear skies at 58 degrees. Southeast winds on the light side. Sunshine, upper 80s Friday. This weekend, look for a warm-up. Lower 90s for Saturday. Heading closer to the Labor Day holiday, temperatures into the upper 90s. Currently 62 degrees.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to quick talk about the 3rd Congressional District. There was a big announcement today. Two very fine Democrats who were candidates for that seat in the past have announced that they will not run again this time. There is a candidate, Rebecca Cook, that I've been quite impressed with, quite frankly. I think she's aggressive in a good way, kind of snappy and quick, very, very good, very, very good candidate. And I'll tell you what, there are several other candidates who are good Democrats who keep saying, we'll think of it and we're going to keep it open and all that. The truth of the matter is, the time is getting late. And not only that, some of them who are incumbents can't really make a decision until the maps are decided for 2024 and where they're going to be. And quite frankly, you can't wait that late. And the other one, very likely won't run. I think it's time to get behind Rebecca Cook. Van Orden is vulnerable. Van Orden is a strange guy. He's the guy who carried a loaded gun into a Iowa airport. Yeah, he knew that was against the law. You know, the rules don't apply to him. He was leading a beer tour, I think he called it, of the Capitol, and he saw some interns who were in high school. These are teenagers lying down on the floor taking pictures of the dome. That's what you do when you take a picture of a dome. And he cursed them. He used the F word. He used the S word. And I was thinking of the man who shot Liberty Valance. And, you know, it'd be something like when Derek Van Orden came to town, the women all would hide. When Derek Van Orden came to town, the men would step aside. Because the point of a gun is the only law Van Orden understood. When it came to cursing little kids, he was mighty good. I'm not much of a singer. In fact, I'm virtually tone deaf. But, you know, the point is the guy's got to go. The guy's a hairball clogging the drain. I think Rebecca Cook would be a good candidate. So I don't live over there. A lot of friends over there. My nephew went to UW La Crosse. A lot of buddies over there. But the fact of the matter is that something's got to be done. Get this character out there. He's a hairball clogging the drain. Put in Rebecca Cook. Now, I want to tell you, we got a tip. And I like this when we get tips from callers. And this was by email or text. And it's really an atrocity that's happening down in North Carolina. There is a Supreme Court justice down there named Justice Earls, E-A-R-L-S, Anita Earls. She's the only black woman on the North Carolina Supreme Court. And this is unbelievable. And what she did was she spoke out publicly and she said, you know, we've got to improve things down here in North Carolina in the judicial system. She said about 80% of the lawyers that argue before a court are white, and 70% of them are male. And that's fine. I'm not into identity politics. But she said when an African-American lawyer or a female lawyer argues, they are interrupted. They're given much less respect by the court than other lawyers are. And she said, even I'm a justice on the Supreme Court, a black woman, and I'm interrupted by junior colleagues and even by lawyers. They interrupt her. Now, this is a fairly benign statement of hers. I mean, she said it in good faith. And, you know, let's just kind of change our attitude here. I thought it was very, very, very done. Well done. But here's the deal. Let me tell you something. I've tried cases for a long time. I've had a number of oral arguments in the Wisconsin Supreme Court and in the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago, and frankly, in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. And I've appeared in court in Fresno, California, and a lot of other places. I got to tell you something. If you're a lawyer, you don't interrupt the Supreme Court justice. They say their mind. They ask you the question. It may be a dumb question in your mind. It may ignore some facts. You sit there and show respect. And then when the justice is done, you might say something, "Your Honor, with all respect, you said that such and such, but in Mr. Jones's testimony in the record, he said it differently. And Your Honor, I think that the way you put it is not in the record." That's the kind of thing you do. You don't interrupt her. So she didn't discipline anybody. She just comes out and says this. Believe it or not, the North Carolina Supreme Court has not started an investigation of her before their Judicial Standards Commission. And the thing is, in North Carolina, under their law, you can't just start an investigation. There has to be a serious allegation and facts to support some sort of misconduct. So she said, "What is the misconduct? I just said flat out what is true, what is factually true." And they sort of chuckle and they go, "Well, you know, we'll find that out. We'll find that out." She sues. She's right now a plaintiff in federal court to stop them from doing that. Now, let's get down in the weeds on a little bit of procedure here. It's true that on many things, federal courts take preeminence. But federal courts really don't like to try to show their power over state courts. It's just not right. And there's a lot of authority that says they shouldn't do it. It is true that the U.S. Supreme Court, which is a federal court, is the avenue where all appeals can end up, state and federal, yes. But you don't normally, and you shouldn't, have federal courts going in and shutting down state proceedings. I personally think, just analytically looking at this, that a federal court is very unlikely. I think it would be wrong for them to say a state Supreme Court can't, you know, apply its laws and its investigations. And if they're wrong, and if they're discriminatory, then you appeal that on up to the U.S. Supreme Court. But I support her 100%. I think it is outrageous that a state Supreme Court, and this was generated by their Chief Justice, who's a real piece of work. He's a real piece of work, who says, "Look, I'm telling you what the conduct is. There are apparently no black law clerks for this term." I don't know if that's true, but that was what was alleged. There are very, very few female and African-American lawyers that appear before us relative to everybody else. And again, I'm not into identity politics. I frequently rail against the identity politics cult that's taking over our party. But that is a legitimate thing for her to say. She has a First Amendment right to say it. She's a Supreme Court justice. She has a good reputation. And the response should have been, "Well, thank you for bringing that to our attention. We're going to look into it. We're going to look into the causes." But no, what do? They investigate her for misconduct under their Judicial Standards Commission. That's retaliatory. That's wrong. Very, very wrong. I'm very grateful to our caller, who we don't use last names, Mary. Thank you very much for sending that story in. And I think we got to pay attention to that. This kind of thing is bubbling up all around the country now. It's bubbling up in Florida and a lot of other places. And we've got to put a stop to it. And one way to put a stop to it is reelect Joe Biden. Don't let Trump in there. Okay, we're coming to the end of the show. Great show as always. Great callers. Matt Flynn Direct will be back. Not same time. I'm going to be doing Devil's Advocate tomorrow from 4 to 6. And I'm signing off for today.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
When you think about early labor unions, do you think of Wisconsin? You should. The state's first labor union formed in Milwaukee in 1847 when the bricklayers organized, then the Carpenters Union in 1848. The National Labor Union didn't even form until 1866. A State Historical Society report shows Wisconsin's union members also pushed for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance legislation, becoming a model for other states. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.